What an amazing gospel. What an amazing gospel. All the stuff that is in there. But I ask you a question. Did Jesus leave us a book or a church? And that's a key question that since the Protestant Reformation, people have talked about. Martin Luther said, sola scriptura, only scripture, left the book. Part of that was the sad state that the church had fallen into, that many of the reformers felt that the church was no longer credible. And that continues to be part of the discussion today and the tension today, especially in Western Christianity. Did he leave us a church? Did he leave us a book? We have this story in the gospel of these two folks, and I think that, you know, it's left ambiguous. Who were these disciples that were traveling? How close were they to Jesus? Who were they? I often like to see this as a husband and wife traveling on this journey, on this road. We know from other places in the scripture that Jesus himself tells us, wherever two or three are gathered, I am there. We're told in this story that they didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't know who he was. That's not uncommon. In the Gospel of John, remember, Mary did not recognize Jesus at the tomb either until he said, Mary. He called her by name. The third time in the Gospel of John that Jesus appears, he appears at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. And if you remember, the disciples are fishing, and they look up and they see someone on the shore, and they don't know who it is. They don't recognize him. Something about this resurrected Jesus, people don't recognize him until they experience him. They don't recognize him. There's something about this resurrection that is very mysterious. Makes sense. I mean, it's hard for us to get our heads wrapped around it. If you remember last week, I said, is Jesus Lord or liar? We talked about some historical counts and basically this event really happened. And last week, if you remember, it was the story of Thomas saying, I'm not going to believe until I put my fingers in the nail prints and my hand in the side. Jesus then comes back in the Gospel of John and says, okay, Thomas, here it is. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He says, you believe because you saw me. Blessed are those who believe that do not see me. And that's us. People in Jesus' time that were with him, that knew him, many of them, they saw him but didn't recognize him until they experienced him. Now, on this story, Jesus is explaining to these two disciples how he relates. They're on this journey, and they're talking about Jesus is breaking to him the scripture. They're explaining to these disciples the scripture. And at that point, the scripture was really the Torah, which are the first five books. Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Exodus. That's the Torah, the first five. So that was the main scripture, plus the Psalms. And then some of the others. So that was what the Hebrew scripture was. The law and the prophets, the Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, much similar to what the Old Testament is today. But that's what Jesus would have been talking about. When they talked about scripture, that's what they understood. But my question in the beginning was, did he leave us a book or did he leave us a church? Because what we have in this story is Jesus doing two things. He's explaining scripture, and then he breaks bread with them. And when he does that, they experience him in that context, and it changes the whole picture for them. I mean, if you remember some of the things we've talked about before, that traveling at night was very dangerous because they didn't have mental hospitals, they didn't have prisons, they didn't have places where people would go. So where were all the bad guys? Outside the city. If you messed up, if you were sick, if you were mentally ill, if you were a prisoner, you know, I mean, they would kill you or they would just kick you out. So there were all these nasty people hanging out at night on these roads. So if you were a traveler, it was really dangerous. So Jesus comes and he's walking with his people, on these two folks, on this journey. And they invite him to come and stay with them. Now, hospitality was huge in this culture. So it was not uncommon that they would say, come and stay with us. In some way saying to him, yeah, we're really interested in what you're saying, but also it's very dangerous to be out here. You don't want to be out here at night. So he comes, he stays with them. In the combination, weren't our hearts burning within us as he explained the scripture? And then in the breaking of the bread, in the communion, that he said, this is my body, this is my bread. When they experience that, and this is happening on Easter Sunday, you know, and they're still trying to get their minds wrapped around all of this. They experience Jesus, but what did they do then? Go out into the danger. They turn around and go right back to Jerusalem. Where they've just said, no, we're not going to go that way because it's too nasty. Come and stay with us. We don't want to be out there. They turn around, go right back into the danger and go back to Jerusalem. The scripture, as we know it, as we read, as the Bible that we have, was not completely codified or agreed upon in the larger community until about 350 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Every Sunday when we get together, we read from the Old Testament, we read from the Psalms, we read from the New Testament writings, either the Acts of the Apostles like we did today, or Paul's letters, or the letters of Peter or John, or one of those New Testament writings, and we read from the Gospel. And then we break bread together. We do here exactly what Jesus did on the road, but in the context of the church. The special presence of Jesus is outlined by the Vatican Council. There's four. In the presence of the Eucharist, in the presence of the Word, in the presence of the leader of the congregation, and in the people of God. There are four special presences here of Jesus, as outlined by the Vatican Council. The Eucharist, the Word, the leader of the assembly, and the people of God. That's us. That is the church. It's not just one of those. It's not, and I would challenge Martin Luther, sola scriptura, not just the Bible. But if we look at the example given by Jesus in this story, Jesus came in the midst of the church, of wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. He's in their presence, and they're doing two things. They're breaking the word, they're studying the scripture, and they're sharing the Eucharist, those two things together in that special presence, in that special way. And it's in that that they experience the Lord. Many of us for years were taught a matter of what I would call external compliance. That there are things that you have to do. To be a good Catholic, you've got to go to Mass, you've got to do this, you've got... And we had all of these rules that were a matter of external compliance that we had to do. And it was like kind of following a cake recipe. If you do all of this stuff, you're good to go. If that external compliance did not lead to internal commitment, it was for naught. Just following the rules isn't the deal. But what the real deal is that internal commitment, that in the sharing of the word, in the breaking of the bread, in the context of the community, you have to be able to experience the risen Christ. You got to be able to experience Jesus. And know Jesus in your life and in your heart, and that that Christ continues to work with you in whatever your journey leads you. You know, and in the introduction, and I just think the introductions are so cool. I don't know where Jenny gets them, but I always think, gosh, I wish I would have thought about that. That would have made a great homily. It's like in like the first four or five sentences of that. But you know, there's this, the introduction today talked about that whole journey, the journey thing, but of our life being that journey, and how often we can't get our heads wrapped around the stuff that happens in our daily life. That, yeah, we are on a journey. And sometimes it's very, very difficult. And Jesus is walking with us on that journey, and often we don't recognize him. We don't see him. We don't know him. And for many folks, even though Jesus is walking with them for many, many, many years of their life, they've never experienced him. They don't recognize him. But that seems to be the key. In all of these resurrection appearances of Christ, the key is that people experience him. And it's the experience of Jesus after he is risen that makes all the difference. It made the difference to these two walking on Emmaus, walking to Emmaus. It made the difference for Peter and the 12. I mean, they went back to doing what they were normally doing. They went back to fishing. These people were going home. It's like, here's this event. This all happened. Okay, that's so sad. Too bad. We're all going to go back to our regular lives. But then they experienced Jesus in that midst. And it changes everything for them. And it changes everything for the better. I mean, that's what my desire is for my life, for your life, for our church. That in experiencing Jesus, it changes everything for the better. Liar or Lord, makes all the difference. Many of you have experienced some very profound tragedies in your lives, great difficulties on your journey. In the breaking of the scripture, in the breaking of the bread, in the sharing of those around you and the journey of your life in those hard times, reach out with your heart and with all your lives to experience that risen Christ, to experience that Jesus, and allow your hearts to burn within you. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon us and remain forever.